then. Thank you.
Inyan Simha.
Concerning joy. The Mishnah says, from the beginning of Av, we diminish joy. From the beginning of Adar, we increase joy. If he is deliberating with idol worshippers, let him judge it on Adar. We should understand the meaning of increasing joy and diminishing joy. After all, joy is a result of some reason that caused him joy. And we can only diminish or increase the reasons. Therefore, we should know which reason will bring us joy.
The
sages who told us to increase joy referred to joy of Kedusha. Accordingly, we should consider to which reason they told us to refer, so it would bring us joy of Kedusha. We should also understand what they said. If he is deliberating with idol worshippers, let him judge it on Adar. After all, we are in the land of Israel, and there are several towns where there is not even one Gentile. And even if we find a Gentile in town, what should be the deliberation with him? It seems that judging the idol worshippers on Adar is a perpetual custom and not an incidental matter. That is, if there is a rare incident where Israel is deliberating with a Gentile, he will go and judge him on the month of Adar. Therefore, we need to understand to which idol worshippers they are referring that they are deliberating with. We see that there is an order of two manners in our prayers. One, an order of songs and praises to the Creator. Two, an order of prayers and litanies. We also see that the two are opposite. This is so because naturally, when someone asks one's friend to give him something, the extent of the request depends on the extent of his need for it. If the thing he is asking his friend for is something that touches his heart and necessary, to the extent of the necessity for the matter, he tries to do everything he can to obtain what he is seeking. Accordingly, when a person prays to the Creator to grant his wish, he should see that his prayer is from the bottom of the heart, meaning to feel his deficiency. To the extent of his feeling, his prayer can be more sincere. Thus, his prayer will not be as lip service, but rather from the bottom of the heart. To feel his deficiency, he must see the truth, to see that he has a great lack and he is an empty kli, an empty vessel as far as matters of Kedusha are concerned. When he feels that he is the worst person in the world, he can say that his prayer is honest because he feels that his deficiency is the greatest in the world and there is no one like him. However, according to the rule, there are no two opposites in one carrier. How can both be in one person? There are many other examples of two opposites in the work of the Creator, but there can be two opposites in one carrier at two times, meaning one at a time. The root of the matter is, as it is written in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, items 10 and 11, how is it possible that the chariot of impurity and klipot would emerge from His Holiness, since it is at the other end of His Holiness? He says there, this will to receive, which is the very essence of the souls by creation, is tuma, impurity, and klipot, shells. This is so because the disparity of form in them would separate them from Him. And in order to mend that separation, which lies on the kli, the vessel of the souls, He has created all the worlds and separated them into two systems, which are the four worlds, Abiyah of Kedusha, and opposite them the four worlds, Abiyah of Tuma. He imprinted the desire to bestow in the system of the Abiyah of Kedusha, removed the will to receive for themselves from them, and placed it in the system of Abiyah of Tuma. He also says there, how will those two things, which are opposite in form from one another, be corrected? For this reason, the reality of this corporeal world was created, meaning a place where there is a body and a soul, and a time of corruption and a time of correction. For the body, which is the will to receive for itself, extends from its root in the thought of creation, through the system of the worlds of Tuma, and remains under the authority of that system for the first 13 years. This is the time of corruption. Afterward begins the time of correction, which is after 13 years. By engaging in Torah and mitzvot, when he engages in order to bestow contentment upon his Maker, he begins to purify the will to receive for himself imprinted in him, and slowly turns it to be in order to bestow. It turns out that as soon as the creature is created, he consists of two opposites. One, vessels of reception. Two, vessels of bestowal. There is no greater oppositeness than this. These two opposites come in one carrier, but one at a time. And it seems as though there is a middle line that contains both of them. One, the will to receive. Two, the will to bestow. The middle line contains both of them when the will to receive is included in the will to bestow, called receiving in order to bestow. It follows that the two forces are included in this middle line, meaning reception and bestowal together. Answer to our question, how can there be in man's work complete wholeness and deficiency in utter lowliness in the same carrier? Is that this can be in two times? That is, one needs to divide the order of one's work into two ways. One way will be on the path of right, called wholeness. This is so because when one begins to turn, one should first turn to the right, called wholeness, and then to the left, It is so because man can walk specifically on two legs, whereas on one leg you cannot speak of walking. Right means wholeness, because when one comes to take upon oneself the work of the Creator, the order is that one should assume the burden of the kingdom of heaven, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load. The ox refers to the mind, called ox, from the verse, let the ox know its owner, referring to faith above reason. A donkey refers to the heart, called donkey, as in, and a donkey, its master's crib, referring to self-love. Therefore, when saying to work in order to bestow contentment upon one's maker, he regards it as a load, and he always wants to throw off his shoulders. He is always searching what he can eat from this work, meaning what pleasure his will to receive might derive. When he takes upon himself this work, he says, I should see for myself, meaning always check if I am not deceiving myself that I am on the right path, that it is the proper one, meaning keeping Torah and Mitzvot because of the commandment of the Creator and not for any other reasons. However, I am keeping the words of our sages, who said, one should always engage in Torah and Mitzvot, even if lo lishma, since from lo lishma he will come to lishma. Thus, why should I think whether I am keeping Torah and Mitzvot with all the intentions so that everything will be for the sake of the Creator? However, I have a great privilege that the Creator has given me a thought and desire to keep something in Torah and Mitzvot. According to the rule, with something important, we do not regard the quantity but the quality. Rather, even if it is a small amount, if the quality is what matters, even something small of high quality is very important. For this reason, since the Creator has commanded us through Moses to keep Torah and Mitzvot, I do not care how much I can keep it. Rather, even if I have the worst and foulest intentions, in the act, I do observe as much as my body permits. And although I am incapable of overcoming the desires of the body, I am still glad that at least I have the strength to keep the commandments of the Creator in some way, because I believe that everything comes by providence. That is, the Creator has given me the desire and strength to observe Torah and Mitzvot. And I thank him for this, because I see that not everyone has been given this privilege of observing the mitzvot of the Creator. He should say that he cannot even value the greatness and importance of keeping the Creator's commandment, even without any intention. We should say, likewise, in serving the Creator, even if we keep Torah and Mitzvot by coercion, meaning we force ourselves to keep, and our bodies resist anything that is of Kedusha, still, the act he performs does its thing. And by this he can come to a state where he has a desire to observe. At that time, all the things he did are not in vain. Rather, everything he did enters Kedusha. We can interpret this with what our sages said about the verse, he will sacrifice it before the Lord according to his will. Our sages said, will sacrifice it indicates that he is forced. But it is written according to his will. How is this so? He is forced until he says, I want. This means that the words before the Lord, according to his will, bewildered our sages. It means that everything he does with regard to bringing himself close to the Creator is not regarded as an act if he does not want to work for the Creator, which is called according to the Lord's will. Instead, that person is still unable to do things to benefit the Creator, which means that his deeds are worthless, as though he has not done anything, because they are still not according to the Creator's will. However, it is written, he will sacrifice it. This means that he is forced, meaning even by coercion. That is, when he does not want to work for the Creator, it is still called sacrifice. But this is perplexing, since he does not want to sacrifice the offering to the Creator. So the beginning of the verse contradicts its end. They said about this, he is forced until he says, I want. That is, this follows the rule that our sages said, one should always engage in Torah and mitzvot, even lo lishma, since from lo lishma, he comes to lishma. This means that by subjugating himself each time, although the body does not agree to work for the Creator, because where he does not see self-gratification, he cannot do a thing. Still, he does not notice the body's complaints and says to his body, know that even by force, you are doing the Creator's commandments. It will not help you to resist the work. It is said that practical mitzvot have the power to bring one to lishma. This is the meaning of he is forced, meaning that he forces himself and does not listen to any logic and reason that the body tries to explain to him, but tells it, in the end, he will achieve lishma. This is the meaning of until he says, I want. That is, from lo lishma, we come to lishma, which is called, I want. Therefore, each time he remembers, while performing some act of Kedusha, great joy immediately awakens in him. That he was rewarded with having some contact with matters that the Creator commanded him to do. Although he knows that everything he does is lo lishma, he is still profoundly happy, since our sages have promised us that from lo lishma we come to lishma. He is even happier because our sages said, he who repents from love, sins become for him as merits. And he who repents from fear, sins become for him as mistakes. It follows that when he is rewarded with working lishma, all the mitzvot he had performed lo lishma will enter Kedusha and will be as important as though he has performed them lishma. Thus, even while he is still working lo lishma, it is as important to him as though he is working lishma. That is, he thinks that everything he does is certainly more important than sins and are bound to be corrected into being good. And he regards everything he does, even the smallest thing, as a great mitzvah, commandment. It is as our sages said, be careful with a lesser commandment as with a greater one, for you do not know the reward for the commandments. For this reason, when he calculates the work he is doing, whose mitzvot he is observing, and when he says some words of Torah, he tells himself, whose Torah am I learning? And when he blesses for pleasure, such as before drinking or before eating bread, he thinks, to whom am I speaking now? It turns out that then he is in utter wholeness. And that wholeness begets joy, because at that time he is adhered to the Creator, just as he assumes that he is speaking to the Creator, who is good and does good. Naturally, he receives joy from the root. For the root of all creations is the Creator, who is called the good who does good. Our sages said, good to him and does good to others. This means that at that time he can believe that the Creator is doing good to him and to everyone. This means that then he can believe above reason that this is really so, even though he concludes with his eternal intellect that he does not see the good in completeness. But now, through the calculations he does with his work in Torah and mitzvot, when he is somewhat adhered to some extent to the Creator, he has the power to believe above reason that this is really so. Naturally, truth will show its way. The result of his thinking that now he is speaking to the Creator is a great awakening of joy, As it is written, majesty and splendor before him, strength and joy are in his place. In the work, we should interpret that this refers to the idol worshippers that are in all of Israel, meaning in one body. Those people who want to walk in the path of the Creator, their bodies resist them. It is as our sages said about the verse, there shall be no foreign God in you. They said, what foreign God is there in man's body? It is the evil inclination. This is called idol worshippers, since it resists being Israel. This is regarded as deliberating. And then, on the month of Adar, when they were rewarded with the miracle, and there was joy and merriment to the Jews, because they feared the Jews, and it was turned into the opposite, that the Jews governed their enemies. For this reason, on this month, one can sentence the foreigner within him, and he will certainly succeed on this month, for it is regarded as turned to the contrary, as it is written, and the Jews governed their enemies. We must remember that one deliberates with one's idol worshippers because each one argues, it is all mine. Israel argues that the body was created only to be Israel and a servant of the Creator, and not for self-love. While the foreigner within him argues, it is all mine, too, meaning that the whole body was created with a desire to receive, because the body needs to see only to its will to receive. Why should it think about wanting to bestow? It shows several proofs that it is right, because this is what everyone does. That is, it tells him, go see what everyone's doing. Is there anyone who's concerned with others while his own needs have not been satisfied? There are very few people, not more than a handful, whose needs have been satisfied completely. So they began to see to others' well-being. However, even then, they watch very carefully that their concern for others will, God forbid, not blemish their self-love. But you're saying, it's all mine, meaning to completely avoid thinking about self-love. Instead, you want to use all your energy to serve others. And you excuse your desire to work for the friends, which is called love of others, by telling me that this is not the end, but that you think that by engaging in love of others, you'll be able to achieve love of the Creator. That is, you want to be completely annulled before the Creator. But then, what shall become of the body? If you want to give your whole body to the Creator, to completely annul before him, you tell me, how can I agree to this? This is very difficult to grasp. Therefore, I'm forced to argue, it is all mine, and not let you move one step forward. In that state, there is a big war, because each one says that he is right. The Israel in him argues that since the Creator created us with the intention that His will is to benefit His creations, He certainly knows what is good for the creatures. That is, He understood that only by doing everything in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator, they will have the strength to receive the highest degrees, called Revelation of Godliness, which dresses in the inner mind and in a feeling in the heart. Thus, only in this way they will be able to receive all the delight and pleasure that the Creator wanted to give to the creatures. This would not be so if they received with vessels of reception. Besides causing separation, there is the matter of being content with less. That is, we must believe what is written in the Holy Zohar, that there is a faint light that shines in the klipot to sustain them. That is, all the pleasures in the corporeal world are as faint light compared to the delight and pleasure that is found in Kedusha. In other words, even a small degree of Kedusha, such as Nefesh De'asiya, contains more pleasure than all the worldly pleasures. If one were to receive the abundance in the desire to receive for one's own benefit, he would settle for this, and would not be able to go and attain higher degrees, because for self-gratification, this illumination of Nefesh De'asiya is satisfactory, and he would have no need to add anything to the pleasures he was enjoying. However, when one is taught to work in order to bestow contentment upon one's Maker, one cannot say, I settle for what I have been granted, since everything he receives is to benefit the Creator. Therefore, he cannot say, I have enough, since I pleased the Creator by receiving a little upper light, and it pleases the Creator, so I don't want to receive any more. It is forbidden to say, I have enough, because I already pleased Him by receiving this small illumination from Him. Instead, one should try to bestow more and more contentment upon the Creator each and every time. And since each joy above is when the purpose of creation, which is to do good to His creations, actually reaches the lower ones, and this is what pleases above, hence, on the month of Adar, when the time of the miracle awakens, as it is written, and it was turned into the opposite, that the Jews governed their enemies, The time is ripe to awaken the foreigner within him. It is as our sages said, one should always vex the good inclination over the evil inclination. As it was said, be angry, but do not sin. Rashi interprets vexing the good inclination to mean making war with the evil inclination. Here, it means that on the month of Adar, he can defeat the evil inclination. Since then, when there was the miracle from above, it's as our sages said, they observed and received. They observed what they already received. Rashi interprets what Rabbah said, that the generation received it in the days of Ahasuerus, was because of the love of the miracle that was done to them. I'm putting the planet aside. I'm not speaking about it at all. But I understand that there is this orbit, you could say, that a person is in spirituality, in these forces, where he says that now I'm in the month of Av, or now I'm in the month of Adar.
What do you mean?
What he depicts here.
That you have a specific, unique connection with the Creator. Yeah. So each month of the 12 months of the year, you have a specific, certain kind of connection with the Creator. So we learn from here in what month we want to do certain actions, certain deeds we should stay away from or get closer to. And then we can more accurately follow the will of the Creator and advance towards the purpose of creation.
When you say every month we have a special connection with the Creator, what do you mean by month?
Month, I mean the astronomical month, this turning of the moon with respect to planet Earth.
Okay, so we shouldn't deny that or get out of that.
No, we can't come out of that because we lack some spaces or discernments that we can attach ourselves to. And that's why we're speaking of the months.
So let's say now is the month of Adar, soon there'll be Purim, and now this big criticism comes to a person that is in a state where we don't need to depict it. He's in a big criticism, so what should he say to himself?
So he should accept that this is what happens to him in Purim. So what? In the month of Adar?
It's written here that he needs to be in...
No, it's not black and white. No, there are different states and different people going through different states. And we already experienced very horrible states during the month of Adar in history. So what? It doesn't mean that everything just goes into calmness and now there's a pause in wars or some other historical conditions.
Yes, but there needed to be a special attitude of a person to reality, to the friends.
If we want to tie ourselves to the general upper reality, then we can use forces that awaken in the month of Adar and use them . All right, yes, Mike.
Page 277. It is written, and in that we need to understand what we asked, what the sages said, that when the month of Hadar enters, we increase joy. And they asked, what does it mean to enjoy, increase joy? That joy is the result of some cause. And what is the cause, the reason that can awaken the reason that will bring us joy? So the question is, what does it mean to awaken the reason for joy?
Well, we need to get to joy through a reason. So what's the reason that leads us to joy, yeah? Okay, so what should it be? What do you think?
We always want to adhere to the Creator, that He is good and does it good.
To have connection with the Creator, and by getting closer to the Creator, we'll have more and more joy. Yes?
What does it mean to come closer to the Creator?
Well, equivalence of form, mitzvot that we have to do, and so forth. There are special conditions in the month of Adar.
With the Creator, we work through others. We don't have another place, right? There's a correction in the relations.
Yes, typically yes.
So what Gilad tried to say is, how do we shift from criticism to joy?
That through criticism we come to the state of, who are we in contact with, how can we get closer to Him, to the determining force, and out of that, we have joy.
Here in the beginning of the article, Rabash speaks about the work of a person, how he can receive joy, where even in the small amount that he does in spirituality, even from that.
Yes.
In the work that we do, we can reach a good feeling toward the Creator, and that a person comes to a lesson or does something small. But with us in the work, we need to reach arvut between friends. So a person cannot make a calculation between himself and the Creator. He needs to make a calculation between all the needs of the friends among him. And here there's a...
Yes.
There could be a confusion or this great opposition, resistance in this part of the work. How can we work with that thing that we need to be content with little, on one hand, and on the other hand, he needs to be not in relation to what he feels, but in relation to what the friends feels, that he needs to fulfill them. Here he needs to do everything, limitlessly.
He has to devote himself to the friends and be a servant to their desire to receive, only in order to bring them to the Creator and to be involved with them in that, to the extent that he succeeds in that, bringing them closer to the Creator. He sees himself happy. Enjoy.
That is clear. But the friends shouldn't be content with that. They should have this deficiency. We see in our work in the tent, one can feel that he's doing enough, and the others will feel that he's not doing anything, or nearly nothing, which is a problem, because the person in relation to himself can say that I feel good in what I did succeed to do something, and he's confident that he's on the path. On the other hand, who determines truly the path of the person?
If a person can every day want to connect the friends and push them in their connection towards the Creator, to connect with the Creator, then he should be only getting good responses.
Meaning he should feel from his 10 that he's doing good work, but he needs to judge it in relation to what the 10 lets him feel, and not what he feels by himself.
אני חושב שמספיק לו להרגיש
I think it's enough for him to feel how he transmits to them the influence of the Creator and how they respond to it, and they all unite together, and he feels himself as the cause for it, and how he advances with.
מבלרוס שואלים,
question from Belarus, how to distinguish between spiritual joy and joy of the will to receive?
תלוי ממה אני שמח.
It depends what I'm happy from. And who it is that I'm passing this joy to. If it's in order to bestow, then I want to bestow my internal state outwards towards everyone until it comes to the Creator.
From Asia, is joy from the connection of the Creator with His creations?
Yes.
Women Turkey 8, how can we divide, how can we share the joy that the Creator has given us?
Joy cannot be divided like, can't be sliced up like a cake where you give it out and nothing remains for you. On the contrary, the more you give out that joy and people enter into it, everyone feels there's this impression, this eruption of joy. And this is how it happens.
Latin 4, what does it mean that the minute the Jews control their enemies, that's the right time to judge the foreigner within us?
We will learn that. It's not simple. But there are such times.
From
Belarus, how to increase the joy in the ten?
We
need to talk with one another, to share things that raise our world upwards. We need to talk about our future states, the end of correction that we are coming closer to. And that there is nothing bad in us, seemingly, but only good. As good and mercy will come after me all the days of my life, will follow me. And it. What does the Creator need for us to do for Him? Only to raise vessels of bestowal towards Him, so that He will be able to bestow in them. That is their pleasure, that He fills our vessels, and He has pleasure from that.
No.
Well?
Concerning two opposites, joy and wholeness and the deficiency. Every time we knew it's hard to reconcile it, we say a person has to pray. I wish you prayed all day, as if all day I have to be in a deficiency.
But who am I asking for? Who do I want to be connected with? Well,
exactly that. Because he says here there's no way to do it together. You can do it at two times. When you feel joy and greatness or a deficiency in loneliness, but not together. So together, connecting these two opposites, it's an aspiration that can't be achieved. Or does this thing have to happen in practice in a person's work?
Why can't we connect between them? Because they cancel one another?
Yes, until the middle line comes.
So here I need to ask whether it's possible to nevertheless be also with the yearning and also be in joy and also be in sadness together.
If so.
Is it possible?
We see that sometimes this is something that really awakens a person and truly shakes him up.
When
there are dramatic states in a person's life, maybe he has a sick child or something dramatic at home, something very, it shakes him up. So it's possible to understand that it's good. A person is already experienced, they can understand and see the process and maybe come out of himself, etc. But the feeling is still not good.
So
it's not clear.
The question is whether he has a connection with the Creator from this. If he has a connection from it, then this covers everything.
So how to work correctly? How does one know how to advance correctly in the process of trying to combine these two extremes? How does he work with some people have more of a tendency toward the right, to gratitude, some have more of a tendency toward criticism or the left? Should I kind of strengthen the line that is opposite from my nature? Do I learn from what I'm experiencing? How do I work?
In everything. On everything. You yourself didn't yet feel, since you're asking this way. What does it mean to incorporate? To incorporate means that everything you look at, you see, this may be left, but I reach this left through the right, and I need to include the right from there, and also not the distance from the left, and all kinds of such. It's all eventually coming to the middle line. Everything comes to the middle line.
Rabash points out that the special thing about it is that there's a miracle here, a great miracle, that it was inverted. The thing is that the following month, because Adar is the final month in the calendar, and the first month is Passover, so there's also a miracle there. So there's a miracle here and a miracle there. What is the connection between them? What is this inversion that prepares us for the Exodus from Egypt?
We have the miracle of Hanukkah, the miracle of Purim, and what other miracles?
The miracle of the Exodus from Egypt, Passover.
You see, we're constantly living from miracle to miracle.
This inversion on the month of Adar, how do we describe it in the inner work, in the personal spiritual development? It's like the embryo being inverted and is ready to emerge in the Exodus from Egypt, not at the end of correction. What is it now?
Pesach is like a new birth, yeah.
That's Passover. But what is the inversion that happens in the month of Adar before Passover?
That in such a way he prepares himself, embryo, the person, as he's preparing himself for the Exodus from Egypt, then this is what inverts in them. All the definitions of what is good and what is bad and how to make it in order to bestow, in order to receive, all those things get inverted. He writes here, Rabash, that the miracle of Purim is when light was illuminating in the end of correction. And then he writes that the preparation for such a great light needs to be enjoying. What does it mean that joy enables the light of the end of correction? What is that joy?
Joy should be joy from good deeds. This is what it's called. So if you did good deeds and it gives you joy of the heart, then you're probably walking with the, you're probably going with the right approach.
But why does joy obligate the light of the end of correction?
Because only through joy can you approach the final correction. It's a sign that you're going toward the end of correction.
So what is joy? I mean, is it the kli? What is this thing called joy all of a sudden?
What is sadness?
A certain mood.
It's not only a certain mood.
Okay, a state that a person goes through.
When you have surrounding lights that are that put you into sadness or joy, that's it.
Clear. So again, meaning, if he defines that the miracle of the end of correction, the preparation for it is joy, then first of all, how do you hold on to this preparation? How do you hold on to this joy?
You try to bring all the friends closer to you and connect them all together and be together in this gathering, in this inner closeness, and an eruption on the outside. So from this, you have joy.
So what are you happy from? Is it what causes this happiness, this joy?
Joy is a result from good deeds.
Which is, what is good deeds?
Bestowal.
What's the connection between the inner joy and the external joy? Or is there a connection between the two?
There is a connection. A person can be in inner joy all day long. With external joy, he's more restrained. Can he show his inner joy outwards? Will he influence other people by this negatively?
A certain feeling.
A deficiency can be a source of joy, certainly. First of all, a general deficiency, mine, that I want to approach the Creator, to the group, the end of correction. That's a deficiency, that's my general deficiency. And I'm constantly in it. This, to me, is the main process, the heart of the process. And with this, I am already happy that I am on this path.